Good morning. It's good to have everyone here this morning. If you have a Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. As Christians, we are called to put on the full armor of God and stand our ground against the attacks of Satan. But before we can defend against those attacks, we need to carefully put on each piece of the armor of God with prayer so that we will be able to take a stand against attacks of Satan. Ephesians 6:13 says, "Therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand." The day of evil sounds a little post-apocalyptic. Brings to mind some of those end of world movies. There are those about aliens. But however, we live in a day where it's completely common to have no respect for God or his word. You look at the news today and you get kidnappings, murders, lying, cheating, bullying are just some of the things on the gossip chain. But that does sound like evil to me. It is, and it's something that we need to be able to stand our ground against. But this is the point where we each have to make a personal decision. And that is, what do we stand for? And who do we stand? And what do we stand against? Are we standing for God and his word and his truth? Or are we taking a stand with the world and following the ways that the world of the world? If the answer to that question is something along the lines, "I don't know," then I got some great, not so good news for you. If you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. If we're not standing for God's word and his truth, then we'll just be like a, piece of grass in the wind, just blowing every which way. Do we want to be the kind of person that stands for something that is important, or the kind of person who falls for anything that comes along? Deciding what we stand for is one of the most important things we can do every day. It is a decision that is made by you and only you. If you follow what your friends want or your family or go with their wishes, you're doing what they want. You're not doing what God wants. God's got a plan for each one of us, but we have to be able to make that stand against and know that what is right and wrong. If we stand for something that's only because it's popular, what happens when it fades away? When it's no longer popular? If you stand for something that's only because it's popular, what happens when it's no longer popular? What you stand for must be decided by you, because you're the only one who must stand. At the end of Ephesians 6:13, it makes a great point. "And after you've done everything, to stand." When someone stands, it shows, and sometimes it shows even more than words or actions. We're going into battle. We can't do it sitting down. We've got to be able to stand up, stand our ground, stand on the truth of God. In Ephesians 6:10-18, Paul tells us what we need to prepare for spiritual battle that we face every day, and what we need to take a stand against. Ephesians 6:10-18 says, "Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so you can stand against the tactics of the devil. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. This is why you must take up the full armor of God, so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand. Stand therefore with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest, your feet sandaled with the readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take the shield of faith, and with it you will be able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the word, and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints." If we're going to put on the armor of God every day, we need to start our day with prayer. We need to be in God's word, reading it. And we need to be communicating and talking to God every day. The first thing that Paul talks about is the belt of truth. When Paul describes the armor of God, he's talking more than a simple set of helpful tips. He is talking about the impregnable defense of God. These are the keys to withstand the attacks by Satan. They are ultimately and indefinitely powerful tools available to us as Christians. But why does he choose to start with a belt? You know, maybe it's one of the last things you put on when you're getting ready in the mornings is put on the belt. Or you may not even wear one. He could have started with the mighty sword of the Spirit, the towering shield of faith, the shining breastplate of righteousness. Anything but the belt. But he did not. So that begs the question, why? Because the belt played a critical role in the effectiveness of the soldier's armor. It was a belt that held the scabbard. Without it, there would be no place to put the sword. Yeah, can you just see this overzealous Roman soldier charging off into battle? Left his belt behind. Well, on his belt is his sword. So now he has to go back and get it because he forgot it. We have to have our weapons when we go into battle. A belt encompasses the ways. Does your conviction to the truth of God encompass you? Are we surrounding ourselves? Are we wrapping ourselves in the truth of God's word and the truth that's in his word? As the above scripture says, truth must be bound around us and written on our hearts. Our conviction must reach beyond an outward show. It needs to be in here. That conviction of knowing what is right and wrong and God's truth needs to be in our hearts. We don't need to make it something that's for show. We can show something all day long, but what's the true meaning of what's in our hearts? What does truth protect against? It protects against lies. We all face so many lies in our everyday lives. Lies that tell you that you're not good enough, pretty enough, or smart enough. That's at my face this whole week, that I'm not good enough to be up here. I'm not good enough to do this. I'm not going to say the right things. The research I've done studying to put this together isn't right. Those are all lies. Because if I have myself wrapped with God's truth, I can do anything. If I rely on him 100%, I can do anything. You can do anything. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But if we're trying to do it on our own accord, our own will, we're just going to fall. We're going to keep falling every time. But we start putting that truth around us, the truth that I am good enough because God's working through me. I'm being open and receptive to let God speak through me to, let me be his beacon, his light. My words are his words. But when we try to do things on our own, we're just going to keep falling. We're going to fail. It's like walking out here and tripping every five steps because we're not doing what God wants. We're doing what we want to do. Lies that tell you that God's not real, that he's not strong, that he can't protect you. Lies that tell you there's no plan for you. These are all lies, but they're things that we face every day. And each one of us have our own set of lies and fears and things that we face every day. But how we get past that is knowing the truth. And that truth is God. We need to get into the word, study it, to be able to discern what's right and wrong. So when we're getting ready to start our day, think about this. What truth do you know? You know that God loved you so much, he gave his only son for you. Flip over to John 3:16. It says, for God so loved you, the world in this way, he gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world that he might condemn the world, but the world might be saved through him. Anyone that believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned because he did not believe in the name of the one and only Son of God. That's the truth that we have the hope on, that God loved us so much that he sent his son. How many fathers in this room right now would be able to give up your son to die for the punishment of the world? I have two. It'd be hard. to give up my son. But God loved us so much that he did. That's the truth that we go into, that God loves us. He's got a plan for us. We just have to be still and listen and know what his plans are. Mentally put on this truth on yourself every day as you walk into the battleground of our daily lives, so that when we face these lies, the first thing we think of is the truth that we know. That is the truth in the Word of God. John 14:6 says, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 17:17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. This right here is our, his word is our battle plan. This is our book, our handbook for life. We get in there and we study it and read it and know what his truth is. When we face those lies, we'll just go, nah, that's another lie. Because when Satan throws out things, 90% of what he says is truth. There's that 10%. You know, look at Adam and Eve in the garden. He's talking, you know, talking about that fruit. Everything he said was good, but he had that little bit in there of untruth. But if we're not in God's word and discerning and understanding what God's saying, we're not going to be able to see that little bit of untruth, and we'll fall for the temptations and the attacks that Satan gives us. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is inspired by God, is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. The next thing that Paul talks about is the breastplate of righteousness. Like a Roman breastplate, this breastplate protects our vital organs spiritually. Whenever we enter the battlefield, Satan will attempt to pierce our most vulnerable areas. Therefore, God arms us with the breastplate of righteousness to prevent Satan from delivering the fatal blow. When I was in the military, we wore body armor. I remember when I first went in, it was just, we'd have a vest, and then we'd go certain places, they give us ceramic plates. So I could put that vest on, but it would offer me some protection. And then on my last deployment, we got the newer stuff. We had protection for our front, our back, and our sides. We need to put that armor on so we're completely encompassed and protected. That way we're not leaving that opening for that little opening for the devil to attack in and deliver a fatal blow against us, because we're not 100%. We're doing a little bit of it, not all of it. This righteousness is God's holiness and perfection. And it comes to us through Jesus, death and resurrection on the cross. Because Jesus said to take our place by living the life we should have lived and dying. Because Jesus took our place by living the life we should have lived and dying the death we deserve to die. He offers us the covering of righteousness to block out the devil's attacks on our hearts and our mind. I mean, you know, we came in, we all, you know, Adam and Eve sinned. When they sinned, that started the whole downward spiral. But Jesus came, when he was born, he came to take away that for us, dying on that cross. That gives us that gift. Know that we can go on. We have righteousness. We are forgiven. But we have to make that choice to put on the righteousness every day. Righteousness entails making a choice to regularly engage with Scripture and spend time with God. If we're just getting up and going on our day, which is easy to do, and we don't take time to talk to God through prayer and get into the Word of God, we're not going to be putting on everything we need to. Therefore, when we encounter the temptations and doubts on the battlefield, we come fully equipped to combat them with the armor of God. We have to wrap ourselves in God's word and truth. When we continually put on the breastplate of righteousness, we secure it with a belt of truth to keep the breastplate in place. Each one of these pieces of armor have to go together. They all have a purpose. If you look at a lot of the way that Romans armor was, they put on that, they had the belt on, then they'd tuck it in and they'd hold everything in place with the belt. The belt of truth comes from God. We learn about the truth himself and ignore the half-truths of this world that come from Satan. Like I said a minute ago, you know, Satan's always going to be putting out those half-truths, those little seeds of doubt. We have to be able to recognize those so we can defend against them. Once we have the breastplate of righteousness in place, we can combat the snares that Satan has set up. that attempt to take us away from the path that God has for us. Isaiah 59:17 says, "He put on the righteousness like a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put the garments of vengeance for clothing. He wrapped himself in zeal as in a cloak." The next thing he comes to is the shoes. I mean, it was one thing we pretty much wear every time we leave the house. We put on shoes. But imagine going into battle without them. You go out here to this parking lot that's covered in rock. Be all zealous. I'm going to make the attack on this end. Start at this end and make the attack this way. Imagine trying to run across there barefoot. You have no protection. Your feet are going to get, you might be good for the a few steps, but eventually your feet are going to hurt. You're going to stop. You know, if we see that soldier and see him without his shoes, we know something's missing. But if we're not, paying attention, we're going to miss that. But the problem goes beyond just looking odd. A shoeless soldier could run into real trouble in the heat of battle, unless he's fighting on AstroTurf and, it's all nice and soft. But what's in the grass? You got thorns. You got little rocks. You got big rocks out in the parking lot. You got all these things that could hurt our feet when we're walking. It may be nothing more than the twigs and pebbles, like I mentioned, but to a bare foot that can cause serious pain. One of the last things you want to deal with in the middle of a fight is worrying about where you have to step. In short, the shoes allow us to step freely without fear while turning our full attention to the battle at hand. If we're worrying about what we're stepping on, we're not going to be looking for that attack. We're going to be worrying about, we're going to be looking down. We're not going to be looking up. We're not going to be looking for those things. We're going to be worried about, man, what am I going to step on next? The word gospel literally means good news. That's because the fact that God loves us so much, he sent a son to save us, is good news. So this is part of the armor of God. It's not so much for you as it is for those we meet throughout our day. It is for us. We have that salvation. We have that good news, but what are we doing with it? No matter where you go, always be prepared to tell others about the gospel, the good news of the peace that you have with God, that they can have with God too. We can also share the gospels. When we share, it's more than just laying out the, quoting Bible verses and laying the plan of salvation. It's finding those little things to do to help people out. You see someone on the side of the road with a flat tire, maybe you stop, offer to help them. You see someone trying to strap down a load. You may or may not know them, but you just take the time to help them out and strap down that load. You're showing God's love to them that way. You don't necessarily have to lay out the scripture and lay out this big plan, but we all interact with people every day. How are we sharing God's love and that good news with him every day? Something to think about is how can we share this every day? We need to be prepared every day when we step out our doors to share the gospel of Jesus. The Great Commission gives us a reason why we should share the good news, because Jesus commanded us to go into all the world and share the good news. But the first place we need to start is in our own home and our community. If we're not sharing God's word and studying in our homes, that's the first place we need to worry about. Once we get it there, then we can start sharing it other places. And it's hard. Life gets in the way so many times in the house that we don't think about it. We put it on the back burner. But we need to make a conscious effort to share it in our home. Then we can share it in our community. It's more than just inside these four walls. It's everywhere we go, every person we interact with throughout the day. Matthew 28:16 says, "Then the 11 disciples traveled to Galilee, to the mountains where Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always to the end of age.'" So every day we step out and we're out there and we're interacting with people. We have the hope that God's with us. We know that truth, that God's with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. So when we're not sure about what to say, let God speak. Be quiet and let him listen. Just listen to him. He'll give you the words to say. And then we come to the shield of faith. I think this is pretty cool because this is the first thing we don't put on, but we have to pick up. We have to pick it up and carry it with us every time we step out. When I was doing some research on the shield, I came across something about the Roman soldiers, what they would do. They would take their wooden shields. They would soak them in water so they could put out the fiery arrows. And I was talking to a gentleman after first service, and you know, he said, I never thought about that, how we have to be soaked in the faith of God. We have to soak ourselves in it and trust and know that God is, I mean, there's a lot of things that come with that faith. When our faith in God's love and power is strong, it is impossible for Satan to break through our shield and land a blow. Faith means more than just believing that God exists, of course. It includes a firm belief that everything God does is truly for our good. Also, faith is absolute conviction that God will always do what he has promised. God has laid out so many things and promises. We have to understand what those are. We understand those by getting into his word. Romans 4:18 through 21 says, he believed, hoping against hope, so that all he became the father of many nations, according to what had been spoken. So will your descendants be? He considered his own body to be already dead since he was about 100 years old. He also considered the deadness of Sarah's womb without weakening in faith. He did not waver in unbelief as God promised, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God because he was fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. I mean, here's Abraham and Sarah in their hundreds. You know, God's telling them he's going to be the father of many nations. But they're old, you know, past childbearing age. But they had faith that God was going to fulfill the promises that he laid before them. Faith protects us in many ways. Think about Daniel in the lion's den. He put in that lion's den with preparing to get that attack. But he had faith that God was going to do what he had promised. Faith was a force that protected Daniel from those vicious teeth. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were thrown into the fiery furnace that it was so hot that the people that threw them in were burned. But here they are walking around with God because they had faith and believed that God was going to do what he said. And then they come out of that fire and they don't smell like smoke. How many times do you get around a campfire within 5 minutes, you smell like smoke? But here they are, come out smelling like they did when they went in. Faith is powerful and protects us not only from the physical dangers, but from the spiritual temptations and dangers. The shield of faith is not just for personal protection. The Roman soldiers had a strategy of joining their shields together. When we fellowship with believers and help each other through our doubts and trials, we form a stronger barrier against the devil. If we're going through life and we're trying to do things on our own, and we're trying to follow what God's will is, we're gonna have those times of doubt and struggle. But that's when you find that person you can trust and say, hey, I'm going through this. You link your shields together. Put your shields of faith together. You start building a wall with those that you trust that can be that encouragement to you. That way you can step out and stand your ground and not waver because we have the community. We have those brothers and sisters around us that are going to help give us the strength and encouragement that we need. Faith is a personal decision. It is a decision we have to make every day. Remember the lies that we were talking about earlier? Every day we must have faith that we know the truth that comes from God. We must have faith that God is good and that he will keep his promise. We must have faith that God has a plan for us. And that plan will be of God's will, not ours. How many times we sit there and look at it and go, oh, I think this is what God wills want, but it's actually what we want. It's not God's will. We gotta put that away. We've got to let it be God's will. This faith will protect you because with it, we can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, how is it that faith like this could extinguish flaming arrows? Our faith can't do it. It's who we have our faith in that can. If we're putting faith in the world, in the things of the world, we're going to fall, we're going to fail. But if we have faith in God, we'll be able to stand our ground against those attacks. If your faith is in God, he is so much stronger than anything that Satan could ever throw our way. Each day, as we enter into our daily routine, we must remember to pick up our field of faith. Psalms 33:20. We wait in the hope of the Lord. He is our help. He is our shield. N.T. Wright said, it is not great faith you need. It's faith in a great God. Put our faith in God. And let him do his work and trust him. Then we come to the helmet of salvation. What does your helmet protect? Your head. It's the way I think a spiritual helmet protects. It protects our health, our mind and our thoughts. Salvation is a protection that comes only from the Lord. We can't put it on. From the moment that we decide to follow Jesus, we are saved. However, we have to choose to put on the helmet of salvation every day because we have hope in salvation. We'll never lose our salvation, but we have to put on that hope every day that Jesus loves us. He's got a plan for us. He has a plan, and we have to follow his will, not ours. In other words, the devil likes to plague us with doubts about our salvation. Like those lies I talked about, you're not good enough to do something. Inject worldly ideas and have us focus on the minute instead of the eternity. That's what the helmet of salvation protects us from. We have knowledge of salvation that Jesus offers us, and we know that what he did for us, how much he loves us. When we are tempted to things we shouldn't be thinking, facing the trials that come our way, or we're tempted to believe the lies about ourselves, we just need to stop and remember what Jesus has done for us. He has died and gave his life for us, that we have that gift of salvation, that we'll spend eternity with him. And we got to remember how much Jesus loves us. Our salvation is the most incredible gift, but how often do we take it for granted? Every day should be Christmas. Every day should be Christmas, that Jesus, that we stop and think that Jesus sent his son for us. We don't need to take that and put it on the back shelf and pull it out once a year. Put that on the front shelf, that we're looking at it every day. Man, he loved me that much that he sent his son for me. Sadly, we go so many days without thinking about this gift that God gave us. We need to refresh our memory daily. We need to refresh our memory every day of the gift that God gave us by staying in Scripture, praying in all circumstances, and remember who has the ultimate victory. We need to die to ourselves every day. We need to pick up our cross and follow Jesus. We need to surrender our will for God's will in our lives. Matthew 16:24 says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to come with me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will become of me, because of me will find it. The cross represents death. We have to lay down our will, our own selfish needs, and we need to pick up the cross, carry it, because what God did for us. I mean, he wants us to die to ourselves every day, and we need to die to ourselves and remember that hope of the salvation. When we start living for ourselves and our will, we're going to fail. But if we focus on what God's done for us on that cross right there, man, that's where the hope is in. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says, but since we belong to the day, we must be serious and put on the armor of faith, love on our chest, and put on a helmet of the hope of salvation. Romans 12:1-2 says, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but transformed by the renewing of your minds, so you may discern what is good and pleasing and perfect will of God. And the final piece of the armor we talk about is the sword of the Spirit. Man, what is the sword? The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. You know, is it something else we don't really put on? We have to pick it up. And we use it as a weapon against our enemy that we face daily in our spiritual battle. The Bible truly functions as a sword in its ability to cut through the innermost depths of a person's heart and soul. God's word can penetrate through all the layers of impurity and get to the truth, the essential issues of life. It can cut through all those lies, all those doubts, all those fears. but we got to be using it. The Bible the Bible truly functions as a sword in its ability to cut through all the innermost depths of a person's heart and soul. God's word can, you know, will penetrate all that. God's word is so powerful that it can be referred to as a sword. If you're going into battle, you want to take a weapon with you. You don't want to go on into battle unarmed. The sword, which is the word of God, is an offensive weapon that we use in our spiritual battles. How do we effectively use our sword so we can defend against the spiritual attacks? To effectively use the word of God, we must learn all we can about it, including the context that each passage was written, but we must be careful not to use the word of God out of context or applying our own cultural biases into it. It's important to remember the Bible was written, not written to us, but it was written for us. It was written to those first century Christians. So when Paul starts talking about that shield of faith and how they would soak it, you know, to extinguish the flaming arrows, the people that he was writing it to would understand that. We use different technology. We have different types of weapons. But unless we did the, you know, we knew that, it doesn't make sense. But if we look at who it was written to and the places it was written and the people it was written, then we could take that and apply it to our lives. The word of God can cut through every attack our enemy can throw at us, down to the very division of bone and marrow. When we use God's word, nothing can withstand its ability to cut straight to the core of the matter and uncover the truth. As soldiers in God's army, it is our responsibility and duty to use his word to discern the truth and follow it. If we're not getting into his word and studying it and learning it and using that as an effective tool, we're not going to be a good soldier. We might as well go into battle without anything. But we have to put on the full armor, pick up our sword, use it. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5 says, since the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds, we demolish arguments and every high-minded thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, taking every thought captive to obey Christ. Unlike all the other pieces of armor, which are solely defensive, the sword is uniquely suited for both defense and offense. A solid defense is invaluable, but the sword is the only way we can complete the work that we have to do. When Jesus was tempted in Matthew 4, he uses the sword. He uses the word of God to defend off the attacks of Satan. In Matthew 4, verses 4, 7, and 10, it says, but he answered, it is written, man must not live by bread alone, but by on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Verse 7, Jesus told him, it is also written, do not test the Lord your God. And in verse 10, it says, then Jesus said to him, go away, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. If Jesus can use God's word to defend the attacks, why can't we? What's stopping us? We have to get into it. We have to pick it up. We have to read it and understand it. Psalms 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of the soul, the spirit, joints, and marrow. It is able to judge the ideas and thoughts of the heart. Again, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so men may know, so the man of God may be complete and equipped for good work. As we close this morning, everyday life is a battleground, one that we enter into every day. It is up to each of us to be prepared for that. This passage of scripture gives us a clear advice on how to prepare for that. And if we follow God's instructions on how to put on the armor, we'll be protected and ready to fight every day. With God by our side, we'll be ready to take a stand from the different attacks that are thrown at us. We must choose to put on the armor of God and take a stand. We can't fight sitting down. You could try, but you're not going to be effective. So if we're going to go into this everyday battle, we need to be able to take a stand. Stand up, stand our ground. Put on the full armor, not one part or two parts, but every part of it. So when we face those spiritual attacks, those lies, those doubts, those fears, we'll be able to withstand them. Because we have the hope and faith that's in Jesus. And in his truth, which is the word of God. He is truth. And nothing can beat that. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you for this day again. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you this morning. I thank you for each person here this morning, Lord. I pray they would just take the words you've given me to say and just take and apply it to their lives, that they will be able to put on your armor every day, Lord. They'll be able to withstand the attacks of the devil every day. Just be with those that aren't here this morning, Lord. Bring them back. Just thank you. Be with Jeff and Trista. Give them a restful time away. Bring them back renewed and refreshed. But as we leave today, Lord, protect us. Help us to stand our ground against the attacks that we face every day. We thank you for your blessing in your precious and holy name. Amen.